It's good to be here this morning. I was encouraged and blessed to be here to hear what was already shared and singing together and everything so far. And thank you for your prayers this morning as well. And a welcome to everyone that's here today. The ones of you who are normally here, the visitors, we're glad you're here with us. I thought I should maybe put in a small disclaimer. I went out during Sunday school with my son. And if you find something stuck underneath your windshield wipers in your windshield, especially if you're a visitor here, that did not come from somebody here. I saw a car pull in off the road, and three people got out, and they were running around distributing things under the windshield wipers. I didn't look at it, but I'm suspicious that it had something to do with this week, like we've already heard. So just a disclaimer, that was not somebody here that put that under the wipers. And maybe that doesn't matter, but... Just thought I would share that. Before we go on, let's just bow our heads together and pray again. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I just pray to you today for wisdom and courage, Lord, as we look into your word, and that I would share what is from you, God, and that is truth, Lord, and truth only. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the main text I want to use today is one verse found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. It's just a short verse, and we'll actually, I'll read it now, but then we'll get back to it later more in depth. But that verse is simply, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." There's some words from the Bible that I really like. One word that I really like is the word wisdom. It's just a fun subject to talk about. I just really like wisdom. It's something that I can, I find myself constantly in need of. But I'm not talking about wisdom this morning, but it's another word that I really like that I'd like to talk about this morning, and that's the word courage. So that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. Based on that verse in 1 Corinthians is the subject of courage. Most of us know what the word courage means. It's just simply the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, and pain without fear. Have the courage of one's convictions to act in accordance to one's beliefs, especially in spite of criticism. The opposite of courage is discouragement or fear. People talk a lot about being discouraged or being fearful. The opposite of that is courage, to take courage. Ivan reminded us this morning already with what he shared, not to be fearful with our surroundings. And we're part of a kingdom. If we're born again, we're part of a kingdom that we know will prevail. So we don't have to be fearful. I'd like to read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, very common, very familiar verses there, and I think that's a picture of courage, what it's talking about there, when it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. So when I read down across that, I will pause at times and let you fill in the blanks. So whenever I pause, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, just fill in the blanks with whenever I'm waiting. I'll give you time to turn there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, or maybe you don't need to turn there if you know it from memory. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of, and your feet shod with, above all, taking the shield of, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. and take the helmet of
salvation
and the sword of the
Spirit,
which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we see in these verses here, it's very much putting on that armor of God is very much a display of courage, and especially the one taking the shield of faith. You know, having faith takes a lot, takes a great deal of courage. And that's oftentimes what faith amounts to, is simply having courage. Sometimes we lack courage. You know, we think of courage. We know we have it fresh in our mind now what courage is. So we think of great things. We think of big things, you know, going out and being brave and bold and standing for doing great things. But sometimes we can lack courage even in the little things. And I've been thinking this week about what I wanted to share. And yesterday morning, I went out and wanted to cut a couple loads of firewood in the morning, get that done, and then come back in. So I sent the children different ways to gather up some different things we needed, and then we discovered that the key for the tractor was missing, and we needed it to pull the trailer to haul our wood in. And immediately, I think Jessica or one of the other little ones said that Lance took it, and he's a year and a half old, so I knew that trying to figure out where the key was from him was going to be pretty futile. So all we knew to do was just to look. So we spent a good deal of time looking. My wife was looking, each one of the children was looking, I was looking, scurrying around. There's a lot of fresh leaves that have just fallen off the trees that are all over the place. I was kind of in despair, and I was like, you know, here it is. I want to quick try to get some wood cut, and then a simple little thing like this stands in the way. And I looked underneath the tractor. I was down on my hands and knees, thoroughly looking. Jessica thought that maybe Lance had taken the key into the Suburban. So my wife was ransacking the Suburban for it. And finally, I gave up. I said, okay, we're not supposed to cut wood. And I even had this thought, well, you know, maybe God knows we're not supposed to cut wood. I might cut myself with a chainsaw or something. I was trying to have a good attitude about it. But I still thought, you know, I wanted to get that done. It was a beautiful day. I wanted to be outside a little bit. And I thought about, and we've done this before, you know, we get the children and we pray about a situation like that. But I thought, and when it came down to it, I didn't have the courage to do it because I was afraid, because for several reasons. I was afraid that my children might think, you know, what if we don't find the key? And then it's like, well, okay, God didn't hear us. And so I was tempted in that way. But then I thought, well, I'll just do it so they don't know it. And I leaned in over the tractor seat, and I think I was going to pray to God something about that maybe he doesn't want us to have the key because, you know, he knows has a better plan for us or whatever. And I don't think I had two words said in my mind, and Sean's like, hey, Dad, here's the key. And here it was underneath the tractor. He had just found it. We had spent quite a bit of time looking, and immediately I was ashamed. I was awed, and I was ashamed. And you can say, you know, we can look at it like, well, that was just a coincidence. It just happened. But, you know, I don't believe it did. I believe God had something to show me. You know, and he doesn't always answer that way. He doesn't always, if we lose a key like that, we don't always find it just, you know, because we pray about it. But it seemed to me like it was a very direct answer. And so we took the children inside, and I got several ones of them to pray to thank God for that. But I was just ashamed that I didn't have the courage at that time to gather them around and pray about it, because it was just a little thing, you know. So it just reminded me that sometimes even in some of those smallest areas, we don't have the courage that we need, or I don't. I'd like to look at some examples in the Bible of courage. There's different men and women in the Bible who are examples of courage. And again, I'd like some input from the audience. And maybe I'll choose the children that are school age. Maybe children that are from grades 1 through 8 in school to see who you come up with. I have several easy ones written down here. It's interesting because if you look through the Bible, it seems like a lot of the well-known stories in the Bible are there either because of somebody who displayed courage or maybe somebody who displayed a lack of courage. So there's different reasons. There's different reasons for those stories, but it seems like that's what a lot of those stories amount to. So if you're school age from grades 1 through 8, and you have somebody you're thinking of who displayed courage, and we just talked about what courage is, so you should know what courage is. So just raise your hand, and then we'll look at different ones of those characters. Anyone? Who wants to be first? Okay, I heard Daniel. Okay, Daniel is one that I have written down. Kylan, did you have one? You had Daniel? Okay, that's a very good one. Any others? David? David is a good one. Another one I had written down. Joshua? There's another one that goes along with Joshua, too. What's the one that goes along with Joshua? I have it written down here, and that's Caleb. Esther is another good one that I have written down here. Who? Samson. Samson had, he could be a display of courage and a lack of courage at times. In the back. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, another excellent examples of courage. And there's another hand I saw back here. Gianna, did you have your hand up? Esther? Esther is a great one. I heard another one. Kylan. Joseph, another great one. And yes. Noah? Noah is a good one. Any others? Winston. Stephen. Stephen is another good one. Yes. Still didn't get it. John. John is a good one. Yes. David. David's a good one. Abraham. Yes. Moses. Sean. Peter. Jacob. Okay, very good. You covered a lot of them that I had there. Several more that I have is Elijah and Peter. I tell you, let's open it up. I'm going to open it up too for men or women who lacked courage, who didn't display courage. So, what are some examples of people in the Bible who did not display courage? Okay, I guess Elam, are you still in eighth grade? Okay, go ahead and answer. you can answer. Let's see what you got. Elijah? That's lacking courage. Yep, that's right. Any others that are lacking courage? Yes. I'm sorry. Saul? Saul's a good one. Sean? The Israelites? Okay, it's a group of people in the back. Jonah? Jonah's an excellent one. Any others? Okay, I see some more of the older eighth graders are smiling. I think they just love to answer, too. Yes. Naomi? Okay. Thanks a lot for your answers. There's all kinds of them all throughout the Bible, and a lot of the ones that we covered here are very well-known ones, stories that we know well. Peter is one that I had down for both, for displaying courage and also a lack of courage. David I had down for displaying courage and also a lack of courage. Another one that I had down for a lack of courage was Eve. And we'll go down over some of these and just look at them. Caleb, Joshua and Caleb, they very much went against popular opinion. They went out and spied out the land of Canaan, and a lot of people thought there's no way that they can conquer, they can go out there, but Joshua and Caleb thought they could. And they weren't they weren't naive and pretended that there was no giants out there and there was nothing out there to be concerned about. They were very realistic, but yet they had the courage that they could go take the land. Another one that was mentioned was Joseph, and that's probably the first one I thought of. Joseph is an excellent example of courage, being sold into slavery, unfamiliar surroundings, where he found himself in, and he displayed courage over and over again when it seems like he would have bent and would not have been able to stand. But Joseph just over and over displayed courage. We don't have a lot of time to spend on each one of these, but and then of course Noah. Noah was asked to build a big boat. Once again, it made him look like a fool. It had never rained, but yet supposedly it was going to rain so much that it was going to flood the earth, and they were all going to get in this boat to escape the flood. A lot of the knowledgeable people and the smart people in the day probably thought, you know, how ridiculous this man is, and they laughed and scoffed at him. And it's easy to look at that story and think of those men being them being silly, because we tend to be on the side of Noah. But if we'd have found ourselves in that day, can you imagine? We'd have thought Noah looked pretty silly too. Great courage that he had, and obedience, and he was obedient, and obedience takes courage. Esther, another one that was mentioned, another example of bravery. This young woman that stood up for her people, knowing that if she goes in before the king, if he doesn't lift his scepter out to her, that it would mean death for her, but she was still willing to go in and face that. And Daniel, you know, Joe Berge preached to us not that long ago about Daniel, and another example of courage, a young man that was taken into a foreign land, but yet he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. And then later on, when he continued praying, even if he knew it meant facing the lion's den, once again facing death, courage in spite of that. And then David, King David, of course, had a life of all kinds of displays of courage, and especially thinking in his younger days when his character was being built, he was out tending his father's sheep, and he had to face lions and bears and had tremendous acts of valor there that he did. And then eventually, of course, he faced the giant Goliath, which is the very well-known story that we're all very familiar with. And that took another tremendous display of courage. Then Elijah. And the one about Elijah that always stands out to me the most is when he faced down the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. I always love that story. And I always think about the tremendous amount of courage and faith that Elijah had to have in that situation to do that. The way that whole story unfolded, just another tremendous account of courage. And Peter, Peter was an interesting character. He stepped out of the boat in faith, which took a tremendous amount of courage. He saw Jesus coming across the water, and he just stepped out of the boat to start walking on the water. Especially initially there, he had courage. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a very courageous man, facing shipwreck, beatings, everything that he faced, but yet he kept going for the sake of the gospel. And Stephen was the first martyr that we know of. He went down in the face of death, very much directly in the face of death, being stoned. He went down with great courage. Okay, now we'll briefly cover some of the ones who didn't have courage. First of all, Eve in the Garden of Eden, right in the very beginning, she didn't have the courage to say no to the serpent that beguiled her there. Somebody mentioned Jonah. Jonah was another one that I had who was called to go to Nineveh, but he did not have the courage to do that. So he ran and hid, and we all know the results and the great lesson that he had to learn because of not having courage that he needed. King David, even though we know most of his life as being a life of courage and a display of courage, he also, in a very critical time in his life, displayed a lack of courage, and that was when he did not resist temptation and was looking on another man's wife and then ordered that man to be killed in battle so that he could have that man's wife. Very much a lack of courage, because he was And we'll talk about that a little bit later. He was a man of war. He was a great man that could lead people and do all that. But yet, in that time of that personal temptation in his life, he yielded and did not have the courage to stand against it. And then, of course, Peter, like we talked about before, stepping into the water, his courage didn't last very long. It wasn't very long until he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at his surroundings, and he lost his courage. And what happened? He sank into the water immediately and had to cry out to Jesus. Then later also, what's another time when Peter lacked courage? Somebody tell me when another time is in Peter's life that he lacked courage. That's right, when he denied Jesus. And three times he said, no, he doesn't know this man. He didn't have the courage to be truthful and stand with Christ in that time. Okay, so that's all we'll have for... some examples out of the Bible, some great examples of courage and the lack of courage. So let's go back to our text, the verse I wanted to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And we'll just break that verse down. First of all, it says, watch ye, which means to be on the alert. Keep awake and be vigilant. In order to have courage, you need to pay attention and be aware of what's going on around you. I had to think when I was studying that, I remember Joe Berge's message a couple weeks ago when he was talking about when he was stalking out through the woods checking his food plot, and he saw this nice white-tailed buck in the food plot. And this buck was very wary. And that's the way they get older. That's the way they escape hunters and whatever, by being wary and watchful. This buck was really paying attention and looking for danger, and then finally sensed something wasn't right, and then he ran off. And that's what we should be. We should be constantly aware of our surroundings and guard against false teachers and deceivers and temptations that can come in. For us married men, we have a great responsibility in that. And we have our families to watch over, our wives and our children. And it's in this day especially, it's extremely important to be mindful of what's out there and to be wary of the dangers that are around us. Stand fast in the faith means to stand firm in the faith. The faith being truth, the revelation of God in Scripture. So when we stand firm in the faith, that's conviction. Conviction, though, is so necessary with courage. Conviction means that I take my stand on faith and I don't waver. And James says, he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. No stability. And I had to think, okay, we're not supposed to be like a wave that is just driven with the wind and tossed, so what should we be like? Does anybody have an example of what we should be like if we shouldn't be like a wave that is wavering? Go.
Maybe the first time is steadfast.
Steadfast, okay. Elam?
Like a tree planted by the water.
That's an excellent example. My first thought was when I was thinking about that was a rock. And then I thought, well, no, we shouldn't be like a rock. Because first of all, a rock is dead. It's unmovable. It's very steadfast. But we can also be stubborn and steadfast just for the sake of being stubborn and steadfast. And that's not what it's talking about here. You know, there's a lot of people that are that way, and they're not... That doesn't mean they're courageous. They might be stubborn and steadfast in their ways, but that's not always the way to be. That's how a rock is. So a tree is an excellent example, but there's another example I'd like to look at too. I like to think of us as being a vessel on those waves of instability. We're a vessel on those waves, and we can be rocked around at times because we're in the world, we're in the middle of the world. But as it says in Hebrews, it says that we have an anchor that is steadfast. So our rock is Jesus, and we have an anchor. So we're on that little vessel on top of those waves, being washed all over the place. But But yet we have an anchor that goes into that rock that holds us firm and that won't let us down. I had to think of peer pressure along with that. You know, when we think of courage, it takes courage to stand against peer pressure. Peer pressure is a very real thing these days, and especially we all probably always think about it more with young people. It seems like young people face a tremendous amount of peer pressure. We want to give in to what somebody else does because we think it might make us look cool or might make help us fit in or help us look like we are somebody. And so peer pressure can be a very real thing. But it's not just young people, it's all of us. We all face peer pressure. But it takes courage to stand against peer pressure. It says, quit ye like men, which simply means to act like men. We live in a day when men, it seems like men especially lack courage. I definitely blame the men a whole lot more than women today, because it seems like women would so often be there willing to stand behind a man who has courage, but it seems like so many times us men don't have the courage that we should have to lead out in a way that we should be leading out. But he says here, to quit ye like men, which means to act like men, which means to be brave, not to be cowardly or timid, but to be bold. It literally means to conduct oneself in a courageous way. It takes real courage to develop good character and be a man of integrity. That takes real courage. There's been many governors and captains and men of war who were in charge of a huge ship or an army, a whole army of men. But when alone, they lived a lifestyle of drunkenness and waste. So even though they had a public display of courage, they didn't have the courage to control their own self. And we see that. We see men who do all kinds of things that appear great to the public or appear great outside, but they really lack the courage that we're talking about here, which is the courage to control their own self. Finally, be strong, which simply means to be firm, be fixed, steadfast. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we can see it's not our own strength that we're relying on for this courage, but it's the strength of the Lord through his Spirit through us. Again, thinking of that anchor that we talked about earlier. Okay, so through that verse, and the next verse, verse 14 there, adds a good balance to that whole thing. Verse 14 says, let all your things be done with charity, which I think that's important to point out here. Even though we need to be vigilant, strong, unwavering, steadfast, firm, and bold, all those words we talked about, all those things need to be done in a sensitive way with the proper motives and in love. If we don't have that, we know what it says three chapters before that in 1 Corinthians 13. And I'll actually read the first two verses there. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So once again, all these other things we looked at with courage, if we have all that, and we don't do it in love, in the spirit of love, it means nothing, according to 1 Corinthians 13. And those in 1 Corinthians 13, there's some really impressive things in there when it talks about understanding all mysteries, having all knowledge. You know, if we have all knowledge, that means we're a very smart person. We know a lot of things. We have a lot of answers. But if we don't have love, it's nothing. Profiteth us nothing. So can we have courage without love? And I would say the answer is certainly not the courage that we're talking about here. It takes courage to love. And we all know in the English, and I'd like to touch on that a little bit too, because love doesn't always just feel good. Love isn't always just being kind and making each other feel good with approval and all that. That's all involved, but that's not the only part of love. Love, the way it's used in the Bible, if you look in the Greek, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with this, is actually three different kinds of love. First is a natural love, a romantic or a sensual love. It may require an element of courage, but not really. It's pretty natural, typically. Another one is somewhat of a mutual love, and that involves common friendships, maybe family, the natural love that just if you love me, I'll love you, and it's a good kind of love, but it's still not a whole lot of courage involved with that one either. The third one that I'd like to look at is divine love. That's the love that we show because it's the right thing to do, even if we don't feel like it. It's a display of the love of Jesus working in our heart. It's the love that we can love our enemies with. This kind of love takes a great deal of courage. This kind of love doesn't come naturally. It's something that we act on because we know it's the thing to do. And that's the kind of love that's especially not always fun. It doesn't always feel good. It can involve correction and rebuke in our life. You know, it's not fun when somebody comes to us with a correction or a rebuke. Or if we have to go to somebody else, it's not fun. But that's part of love. It's a very real part of love that is missing in so much of what we hear about love today. Think of it this way, just a hypothetical situation here. If you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock during the night and you see smoke coming out of your neighbor's house roof, you know your neighbor is in bed. It's a cold night out. He's warmly snuggled underneath his covers. What would you do? Does anybody have any answers? What would you do if you'd wake up to that scenario? Well, if you don't know, I'm pretty sure I know what I would do, but... Think about being in that situation. Would you think, well, I'm going to give them a little bit more time. They might figure it out. They might figure out their house is on fire, and they'll eventually get out. But I'm not. They'll figure it out. I mean, it's cold. By the way, it's cold outside, and it's pretty comfortable underneath their covers. They're sound asleep, and it's cruel to wake somebody up in the middle of the night. Why would I go do that? So we'll just leave them alone. We'll just leave them alone in there. We'll be kind to them, and we're going to love them, and we're going to let them sleep. Is that how we should look at it, or how we would look at it? I don't think there's one person in here that would do that. And if you're my neighbor and you would do that, I think I'm going to move somewhere else. Of course, we wouldn't do that. We would run to their house as fast as we could, screaming and yelling, probably dialing 911 on the way over there, and knocking and screaming, doing whatever we could to get their attention and yell at them that their house is on fire. Get out of your house right now. And we'd wake them up, and we'd never even entertain the thought of them being comfortable in their bed or whatever, or trying to make them feel good in that situation. We would get them out of the house as quickly as we could to save them from destruction. So the scenarios we face in life aren't always that cut and dry and that obvious or that easy, but real love certainly does take courage. And sometimes it also takes courage to receive love as well. That can take courage as well. So we looked at some biblical examples of courage earlier, so I'd just like to look at some practical examples of courage today. First of all, we had seen Stephen, who was the first martyr. There's been many martyrs since that, and I can't help but think of the martyrs when I think of courage. We think we have situations that we face that take courage, but when you read stories in the Martyr's Mirror, the accounts of the early Anabaptists that were burned and drowned and all kinds of terrible tortures that were done to them for the cause of Christ, and they faced it valiantly with courage. They didn't have to. They could have bent or compromised or completely gave up, but they didn't. They stood, and I'm sure some did. But there's many people who stood in courage, and that wasn't just back then. That's happening today, all over the world, there's Christians who are standing with courage in spite of being beaten, tortured, killed, whatever it may involve. So the martyrs, I think, are certainly an example. A lot of what we've talked about so far dealt with the men having courage, and I think it's primarily, maybe primarily can be a man thing, but on the other hand, when I think of wives and mothers, I see more courage displayed there than us men ever display, I think. You know, there's so many things there that I think about when I think of the ladies, the wives and the mothers. And for those of you who are not married, just remember that Paul said that that's even better, because you can serve Christ even better as the way he did. So that doesn't exclude you, certainly. But I had to think of, you know, my wife has had five children. I think the courage that they face, the courage that they have when they face having children is tremendous. And I'm sure every one of us men can say that. Because if we had to do it, I'm not sure how that would work out. But just the courage that they face in that is tremendous. I'm sure you've heard the quote, "Behind every great man is an even greater woman." Also the quote, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." And I think those quotes can be true, because for you wives or mothers who are at home working and you think things become mundane and routine, and what you're doing really doesn't matter that much because you're not an attorney or a doctor or somebody out there really make a difference in this world, I think you have one of the most important jobs that ever was and ever will be. And what you do is very critical and very needful. And I have a tremendous respect for the amount of courage that it takes to be a Christian wife and a mother. And when I thought of courage, I also had to think of the widows here. The widows and even others here who have faced death, death or close in the family and all that. Just the tremendous amount of courage that's displayed to be able to go on in the face of that and still bless God and go on with courage is tremendously inspiring. And I had a family here I wanted to talk about a little bit. None of you knows, so I can talk about them freely. Several months ago, my daughter and I went to a father and daughter retreat down in Tennessee, south of Nashville, and was really blessed in a lot of ways. There was a family there from Georgia. It was the Ford family. It was a husband and wife, seven daughters, and one son. And the children ranged in ages, I believe it was about 2 through about 22. Very, very inspiring family. Their dad would get up and share some. A lot of times when you see families like that, they're kind of lifted up on a pedestal. And I don't think it's good to follow people. I think that's something we do too much sometimes, is follow people and follow after a man or a person or a family or whatever it is. But I think we can definitely look at examples. And I like examples a whole lot better than I like words. I like seeing what somebody does a whole lot more than hearing about what they do. And a lot of what we heard about from some of the other people was how this family works together at home. But then they did, on the one night, they had three of the oldest girls got up and gave their testimony about the way they grew up and the way things work in their home and that sort of thing. And I was really blessed, and I just had to think about that. I was really blessed with the amount of courage that family displayed. Several instances, and when the administrator there, I heard him talking to a group of people off to the side the one day, and he said, you know, it used to be years ago you couldn't plan something with certain families because they had a dairy farm, and so their schedule was very busy, and they couldn't leave for 3 or 4 days because they had a dairy farm. They were tied down to their farm. He said that's the way the Ford family is in their community, and he said they don't have anything that ties them down as far as work or hobbies or sports or anything like that. But he said they are so involved in their community. They said the one daughter is going out to the nursing home the one night, and there's a lady over here that's relying on another daughter to take her to this place. And they're so involved in their community and so involved in reaching out but they're so tied down they can hardly travel or go anywhere. And then they really display the happiness and a relaxed lifestyle that wasn't free of fault, and they freely talked about their faults and learned from them and tried to learn from them. But there was some humorous accounts that the father gave that I thought were just a tremendous inspiration to me in the light of courage. They have a business, or he's a physical therapist, and he works out of his home, and all the children and the wife, everybody's there, and the children are involved with calling people about their appointments. Whenever they turn 14, they're the ones that get the cold call list to reach out to doctors and potential clients to do sales calls to try to get more people into their office. When they're 14 years old, that's the responsibility they have. And several of the girls were very shy. They said were very shy by nature, and that was a tremendously hard thing for them to do, but they were required to do that. And now the girls, you wouldn't have thought they were shy. They were very, I can say they had a very meek and quiet spirit, but yet they were very outgoing, and just and the love of Jesus just really shone through them. But that was one of their jobs. They were very active in their father's physical therapy business there. And I thought that sounded like maybe more of a southern thing. I don't know if you could even do it legally here, but the girls were there in the office, and that was very much part of their outreach. And they said that the dad had he had several robes in the closet, and when ladies would come in, ladies or girls would come in that weren't dressed modestly, he would put one of these robes on them. And then as he was working with them, one of his daughters would come in and witness to him and tell him, talk to him about the way they were dressed and share the gospel with him. Another time he was in there working with a client, and he overheard his 14-year-old out in the lobby. That's often what they would do, is they would interact with patients as they're sitting in the lobby in the waiting room. And he heard there was a lady pastor out there, and she was talking to some people about her church and things like that. And he just cringed when he heard his 14-year-old daughter challenge her and rebuke her for being a pastor. And she dug into the scriptures and was reading verses about why this is not scriptural, why she shouldn't be doing this. And he was sitting back there just thinking, please just use a little bit of discretion here. Yeah, we taught you that, but you don't need to be saying this now. There was another lady in the office at the same time, and I don't know what happened to the pastor lady. I don't know if she was offended or what, but there was another lady in the office that overheard this and later on came back and wanted to talk to the family, wanted more information, and she was so impressed with this girl's knowledge of the scripture and her reaching out. She became born again. This was several years ago. She became born again and today is a faithful member in their church, all because of what she overheard that 14-year-old girl say in that office. That would put me to shame many, many times. Another thing I remember one of the girls saying is when they were growing up, they never even thought about the fact that they didn't have a television. They said they didn't have a television in their house growing up, and they never even thought about that. They said they would have never had time to watch television. They were way too occupied in the things they were doing. They didn't have time to watch television. I heard another dad was saying that one of his daughters had become pen pals with one of the Ford girls, and he said that the girl that she was going to become pen pals with, when they were talking about it, the daughter told her, now we just want you to know that our dad reads every letter that goes in and out of our house, whether it's an email or handwritten letter, whatever it is, he reads everything that goes in and out. So it was just a tremendous display of courage that I gleaned from them. And there's other things I could say about them too, but it was just a blessing to see that, and I thought I would share it here because, as far as I know, none of you knows them, and it was just a interesting family for me to learn from. So that's I think that's about the extent of what I have to share today. I want to leave you with this verse yet in John 14:27. His peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That was the words of Jesus there. So in other words, take courage.